Today, I am focusing on the Families First Coronavirus Response Act, passed by the House early Saturday morning. In my March 6th commentary, I lamented the failure of the government to engage in preparedness spending, a problem that goes back to the Reagan Revolution of the 1980s, which was based on the erroneous proposition that, as Reagan said, government is not the solution, government is the problem. A serious failure that will cost lives is the decision by the Trump administration to disband the task force in the Department of Homeland Security that was specifically created to cope with international medical emergencies. Today, I want to shift attention to the short-term remedial efforts exemplified by the House bill. That action represents the direction that government policy has to go. Unfortunately, it also demonstrates the dangers of treating politics as the art of compromise. First of all, it is essential that all testing for the coronavirus be free. If people cannot afford to be tested, we will never know the extent of the disease, where the hotspots are, and therefore we will not know where to deploy our finite resources to combat it. The bill does just that, and it's a no-brainer. Second, it's essential that workers who lose their jobs because of the economic slowdown get extended unemployment benefits. This is a principle that even conservatives support. One must help laid-off workers sustain as much of their previous levels of consumption spending as possible in order to keep the economy from spiraling down even more, turning a recession into a depression. Relying on individual acts of generosity is not enough. Yes, it's great that the superstars of the NBA are promising to pay the salaries of the workers in their teams' arenas, but that won't work for most workers facing layoffs. A national crisis requires national mobilization of resources. Third, the bill expands food assistance to make sure seniors and food banks get help. This is another no-brainer. Finally, the bill needs to make workers who have the virus whole so they don't go to work while sick. The legislation includes 14 sick days paid by employers, as well as 3 months of paid emergency leave. Unfortunately, because the Republicans in Congress are more interested in protecting the profits of large corporations rather than the health of the people, they bulldoze the Democratic House majority into not mandating paid sick leave for all workers. The paid leave requirement only applies to businesses employing about 20% of the population. Some large corporations have sick leave in their contracts. Some have voluntarily stated they will extend sick leave to employees who are asked to quarantine themselves. Here, the tendency of the Democrats to want a bipartisan bill interfered with their instincts to cover everybody. They compromised with the Republicans, I guess because they were more concerned with getting something that would help workers rather than with fighting hard for complete coverage. Now, I personally think this desire to compromise is wrong. Democratic majority in the House should have passed a clean bill without the Republican-demanded restrictions and dare the Senate to reject it. If challenged about the cost imposed on businesses by mandating paid sick leave, they could remind us that Congress gave corporate America a giant windfall with the 2017 tax cut. Now, reasonable people can differ on what the appropriate political tactic should have been, but from an economic point of view, no one who is sick from the virus should be forced to give up their income in order to stay home from work so they won't infect others. That's another no-brainer.